To see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook or Twitter. Good morning. Today's photo of the sun setting into the depths of Lake Ontario to the left of the Oswego West Pierhead Lighthouse and a group of people huddling under a tent or gazebo structure comes to us from Celestial Blue Photography as Rocco Saya shared this scene on social media on August 14th. Well, it's Friday, and I thought that Rocco's photo was a great one to share as the sun sets on another work week. While Lake Ontario and the Oswego Lighthouse are a familiar offering from Celestial Blue Photography, I never tire of it, and thought it was also a good visual representation of the fact that the sun is beginning to set on the summer of 23. It's Labor Day weekend in 2 weeks, and although summer doesn't officially end until September 23rd, 36 days away, granted, you know that things change dramatically after Labor Day and the kids go back to school. As much as we may want to hold on to the belief in an endless summer, it doesn't make it true. And that brings us to our current series on self-deception, where we have decided to investigate some of the ways we deceive ourselves by walking through step two, deception versus truth of the steps to freedom in Christ, to see what ways we have been deceived by the world and ourselves, and what ways we have wrongly defended ourselves. While we have reached the end of this series on self-deception by going through all 32 points of the ways we can be deceived by the world, ourselves, and the ways we wrongly defended ourselves a couple days ago, I have decided to conclude the series by sharing the closing instructions that immediately follow those three sections on the ways we can be deceived. In today's section of those closing instructions, Neil Anderson writes about the dangers of the New Age movement's twisting of the concept of faith and truth. He writes, "The New Age movement has twisted the concept of faith by teaching that we make something true by believing it. That is false. We cannot create reality with our minds. Only God can do that. Our responsibility is to face reality and choose to believe what God says is true. True biblical faith, therefore, is choosing to believe and act upon what is true, because God has said it is true, and He is the truth. Faith is something you decide to do, not something you feel like doing. Believing something doesn't make it true. It's already true, therefore we choose to believe it. Truth is not conditioned by whether we choose to believe it or not. Everybody lives by faith. The only difference between Christian faith and non-Christian faith is the object of our faith. If the object of our faith is not trustworthy or real, then no amount of believing will change that. That's why our faith must be grounded on the solid rock of God's perfect, unchanging character and the truth of His Word." End quote. That's just an awesome section of truth by Neil Anderson, who really breaks down, the difference. I cut to the chase today with Anderson's statements because I'm a little distracted and could use the wisdom of the basic concepts of our faith. While faith is something we decide to do because we could always doubt, we stand on the truth of God's Word, which we also have to take on faith. But don't get that twisted either. While we could doubt whether or not the Bible is true, there are at least three good reasons to believe it is true. Number one, history and archaeology have confirmed the claims of the Bible to be true time and time again. I refer anyone who is interested in knowing why we believe the Bible to go to our first Freedom in Christ teaching on YouTube, where the lesson gives specific examples of how historians doubted certain Bible facts only to have the truth of Scripture to be confirmed by archaeologists literally digging up evidence to support God's Word. Or I would suggest checking out D.J. Kennedy's book, Why I Believe, that I read back in Bible college that gave a natural-born skeptic, me, relief that he wasn't following a blind faith when he put his faith in Jesus. The second piece of evidence, also highlighted in the sources I mentioned, is fulfilled prophecy. What the Bible has predicted to come to pass has come to pass again and again. The most significant fulfilled prophecy, of course, is the coming of the Messiah and the details of the life of Jesus. Conservatively, Jesus fulfilled at least 300 prophecies in his earthly ministry. And I am sharing a link to the article from gotquestions.org that gives a whole table of prophecies and the Bible verses that they are drawn from that support that claim. Number three, people who put their faith in Jesus are changed. Now, I know this doesn't applies more to some than others in the quote-unquote church because of the reality of tares amongst the wheat in the church building. But the true church, the body of Christ, is comprised of people who are not ashamed of the gospel and have been transformed by it. Included in this evidence is the fact that the church has never stopped growing, despite this postmodern, post-Christian society of Western civilization worldwide. The number of Christians has continued to increase throughout history. This evidence is also highlighted in the first lesson from the Freedom in Christ course we mentioned above. As Anderson indicates, the Bible is already true. Therefore, we choose to believe it and choose to apply it to our lives. We are not making this stuff up. As much as others like to debate everything, the reality of Jesus Christ, who lived, did miracles, taught wisdom, lived a sinless life, died, was resurrected, and ascended into heaven, if honestly examined, would lead one to the conclusion that Jesus is who he said he was, and that the only one we should put our faith in is him. Jesus is the object of our faith, and he is trustworthy to be believed, loved, and followed. So keep walking and talking with God, and tell the true story of the gospel of Jesus Christ and how it has changed and is changing your life to others so they can know the truth and be set free. Today's Bible verses come to us from the Quick Scripture Reference for Counseling by John G. Cruis. This morning's meditation verses come from the section on affliction, discipline, chastisement, and trials. And today's verses are from 1 Peter 1, 7 and 8 from the New Living Translation. The Word of God says, "These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy." Today's verses fall under the 21st point of our counseling references guide, the resource section on affliction, disciplines, chastisement, and trials, and that 21st point is, "At times, God gives us trials so that our faith may be purified as gold is refined by fire, that Christ may be honored and glorified." Today's verses show us that the trials we go through are another evidence of our faith being genuine. We suffer for our faith now, but when Jesus Christ is revealed to be the truth, the way, and the life to the whole world, we will rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy as every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Atheists and non-believers mock Christians for the things they believe and for the moral lifestyle they try to live when they follow Jesus. And sometimes the pressures to just go along with the world is great as we face persecution. But a true disciple of Jesus knows the truth of reality itself and has no choice but to endure the world's abuse and to continue to proclaim the truth of God's kingdom and the gospel of Jesus Christ, come what may. Christians have gone into eternity by the violence of evil men who tempted them to renounce their faith. But because the martyred saints knew their Savior lives, they freely surrendered their lives rather than denounce the one who gave them life, forgave their sins, and promised them a place in his eternal kingdom. our faith in Jesus Christ is genuine. He is the truth. And so we will be genuine followers of him no matter where the Lord leads us, because we know that we will be with him and we will rejoice. As always, I invite all to go to mtforchrist.org, where I always share insights from prominent Christian theologians and counselors to assist my brothers and sisters in Christ with their walk. Today, we continue sharing from A.W. Pink's The Holy Spirit, and today's from chapter 20, The Spirit Cleansing, and today's section is on true mortification. And, just a spoiler, true mortification consists first in weakening sin's root and principle. True mortification is getting rid of the root of our sins. And that's why we recommend a lifestyle of Christian discipleship. It's not about behavior modification. It's about life transformation. And it's about getting rid of those roots of our sins. And as I struggle with my food addiction, and have come to the realization that although I've been working, I haven't made any progress as I've compromised in that area. I'm in better physical shape, but my weight hasn't really changed all that much at all since starting my V-Shred program. Because no matter how much you work out, if your mouth isn't on board with the program, there's going to be a problem. Plus muscle weighs more than fat or whatever. I don't know. That's what I've heard. I'm severely convicted by the fact that I was so deceived that I stopped marking my progress. So today I was distracted because I signed up for the MyFitness app so I can track my food intake to make myself accountable. If we're going to change our lives, we have to take steps and make plans and use the tools that we have. And so if you want to monitor what's going into your body, you have to keep a running record of it. I did that in the past, but I didn't do it. In fact, when I pulled up the MyFitness app, it had my old information. And I don't know if I'm ashamed or proud of this fact, but the old information, after I put in my weigh-in, my recent weigh-in, the app told me that I had lost 82 pounds. And so obviously that's based on old information. That's the truth, because when I signed up, I was much heavier than I was. So even though I don't feel victorious, today, it reminded me that I've been victorious in the past and that I do have a huge measure of freedom from where I used to be. I might beat myself up, but the truth is, in terms of fast food, I rarely go there anymore. And the snacks I used to buy, 4 or 5 bags of chips at once. I don't buy any anymore, so there's been some modifications, for sure. And some victory and freedom there. The app don't lie. Apparently I from the first go round of, starting the MyFitness app, when it wasn't something you had to pay for, to get all the features, it tells me I lost 82 pounds, based on yesterday's weigh-in. So, I shared my fat photo at Celebrate Freedom to show everyone that was the truth. But I have even more goals to accomplish. I want to get rid of that sleep apnea mask, and one of the ways they say you can do that is by reducing your weight. And so that's the pathway we're taking. We want progressive freedom. We want progressive victory, and it's not about perfection. It's about health. I want to live as long as I can, to proclaim the gospel as long as I can, and I want to be in good health to do it. Part of this journey, this recent journey was, in seeing how my father was greatly, impacted by his poor health. His back, he's in constant pain. He's had several surgeries to try to correct the situation. But the reality is, a lot of it had to come down to him being too heavy. He was an athlete when he was young, But as he aged, you know, he let himself go. He suffered for it. Please don't tell him I said that, because last time I talked about my dad on the podcast or my blog, my mom found out and caused trouble, you know. So don't say anything. Very few people listening to the podcast. So, although my mother might read the blog on occasion, I don't think she listens in. Take too long. So there's that. Anyway, we have to go to work today and we have to work tomorrow. So it's not true Friday for me. Tomorrow will be Friday with a 1-day weekend to celebrate, but we accept our lot in life and we find joy in every moment instead of lamenting over, you know, what could be seen as a negative circumstance. We should pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for another day in your kingdom. We thank you for what you've done in our lives. As much as we are striving to be more and more like Jesus and to be healthier, we know that you've done great work in our lives already, and you know, we become an evidence for the truth of Christianity, that we're part of the evidence when we are changed. And I know that I'm nothing special, and that anyone who follows you can enjoy the freedom and victory that you have for them. All we have to do is continue to follow you and walk after where you have to lead us. Lord, so we just ask you to lead us today. Go before us, open our eyes to the things you want us to see, move our steps into the things you want us to do. And we pray for the people who are listening or reading today's message, that you would come alongside them and their prayer request and their walk of faith. Lord, we just pray for you to you know, give them the resilience and the strength to endure and to have their faith be shown to be genuine as they suffer. You know, changing from what they were to who you want them to be. We know you have the power to do that in all our lives, Lord, and we just thank you for it. And we ask you to help us today, this day, in that regard. Because all we want to do, Lord, is represent you in your kingdom and live the life you would have us live. So we thank you, we praise you, and we love you, Lord, and we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.